And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground. And I'm just telling you, we're bringing truth and speaking it liberally. And that's liberal, not in the progressive sense. I go to the text lines real quick, see what I got here real quick. What do we got here? Barry from Fultondale texting in. He says, I heard a talk show yesterday about the Space Command giving... It's kind of jumbled, but what I think he's saying is Space Command is going to Colorado. Nope, I'm hearing just the opposite right now. I'm hearing that in Colorado they're trying to build more facilities, and that the budgets are being slapped down as, you know, nope, you're not building anything until a decision is actually made. We haven't heard anything official that I'm aware of, Barry, but we're keeping our eyes on it, man. Leanne from Huntsville. Phil, Boomer, Nugent, what a great afternoon, she says. Leanne from Huntsville, we appreciate you. Navy Phil from Athens. Navy Phil says USDA is asking that you register your garden. Oh, God. That's funny, not funny, you know? How many tomato vines do I have to register? You appear to have more tomato vines than you've been allotted. When did that happen? Wiley from Gunnersville just gave me a thumbs up because he had sent me the story. Actually, about he didn't know I was about to go right into that Montana gun shop story, and he sent me the Montana gun shop, and I said, "Good eye, man. I just used that one." Dustin from Hazel Green, what's he saying to me? He's talking about the bracing that Biden says changes the caliber of a gun. He should have said a preface that last comment with, "I don't believe you should have to do anything special because a barrel is shorter." Oh, he's talking about the fact that. They claim that the bracing changed it to a short barrel rifle. Well, it's not. It's ridiculous. You know, short barrel rifles are governed by the National Firearms Act. So, whatever. Thomas from Athens, it'd be interesting to know what percentage of, what's he trying to say, minority-led groups versus white-led groups are on the new list from the FPLC that the FBI is using to target so-called extremists. I contend that it'd be a small percentage. Therefore, the list is racist, and so is SPLC and Facebook. I'm with you, Thomas. Amy from Huntsville takes issue with the fact that I occasionally rattle paper like that. She wants me to stop doing it. Whereas just the opposite, I had another listener who told me that she missed Rush Limbaugh, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. I was doing it maybe just out of old habit or something. I don't know. And she missed Rush Limbaugh and then heard me rattle paper, and she felt like the world was okay. So Amy, you're going to have to go ahead and get over it, sister. The content is still the good content, but the paper may still get rattled. Wade from Huntsville sent me in. What did he send me in? A meme. Okay, I'm not reading that one, brother. So thank you very much. And then John from Huntsville, they're pretty, but can they fight? Those are my exact thoughts every time I watch the Miss USA beauty pageant. I don't know where to go with that. I'm going to leave that alone. And then John C. from Madison goes, rattle away, Phil. Rattle away. Thank you, brother. Hey, so this next segment of the Triple Dipper, I am calling it, they're very pretty, but can they fight? Bummer, do you remember that movie, the Dirty Dozen?
Oh, yeah, the Dirty Dozen.
By the way, I read an article this weekend, total aside here, chasing a rabbit for a moment. The Dirty Dozen was based off of a group Pathfinders that went in early before the D-Day invasion that was called the Filthy 13. Yeah, they were. They were the ones, have you ever seen pictures, who actually shaved their heads into mohawks and put on war paint. And there were 13 men, and they jumped in ahead of the D-Day invasion, blew up two bridges. They were scheduled to blow up four. They got two of them. Half their group, I think, was taken prisoner at some point. Half of, and then a third of them, or a couple of them, died. And was that your phone screaming at me?
That was my watch.
Did your watch just yell at me?
It just yelled at you. Which one?
The one in World War II. I don't know. Anyway, the Filthy 13. Anyway, the movie The Dirty Dozen. There's a scene. It's a crazy scene. The movie's crazy. The whole movie's crazy. But it was a classic. 1967, I think. The Dirty Dozen, starring people like James Brown and Lee Marvin and Charles Bronson and Donald Sutherland. And I mean, the list went on and on and on of great stars. Anyway, there's this one scene where they're being trained and they're trying to remain incognito, and they're coming onto a post, and this hoity-toity colonel with the 101st Airborne decides he's heard that there's a general or something coming in and he wants his troops inspected. Well, they don't have a general. They're all trying to remain incognito. So they had said there was a general so they'd be left alone, except that they didn't expect him to have a band out there and all his, you know, his troops in parade dress. So they stop the truck and they make Donald Sutherland pretend to be a general. And he's a goofy guy. And he's inspecting, but he gets carried away. And he starts actually getting into the mode. So then we have a sound effect.
They're very pretty, Colonel. Very pretty. But can they fight?
Yes, sir.
I hope you're right.
So that was it. So I don't. Every time I think about woke policies in the military, that phrase has come back to me. And Boomer was able to capture the sound effect for me. Thank you very much, Boomer. So when we get back from this break, I'm going to jump right in, man. I got several things here. Because you know what? Military leadership is actually pushing back. How dare you call us woke? Well, maybe you stop caring about DEI policies in the military. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, all the way back up north of Huntsville. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa all the way over to Gadsden again. And yeah, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, they're very pretty, but can they fight? Now, listen, am I picking on military? No, I'm picking on military leadership right now. And there's a defensive posture right now that you can sense, you can see, you can actually hear it and see it in our U.S. military's leadership, specifically the Army. And that goes to the quickening of my core right there, because the Army's been a huge part of my life. You know, multi-generations of my family have all served and still serving. And so I will go ahead right up front and clarify for the record that I love the U.S. military, specifically the Army. We just had the Army birthday last week, I believe it was. Do not take my comments here as trying to tear down the military. No, I'm trying to jerk a knot in the tail of some of the leadership. And if you think for a second that you can explain away, well, we're doing good things over here, we know that, and we want more of them. But that does not excuse you doing things that make no sense or that tear down morale or that denigrate the history and the traditions of the U.S. military. Oh, Phil, now you're getting carried away. No, I'm not. I'm actually not. Why do you think that recruiting is so far down? Recruiting right now is at a nearly 50-year low. Since we went to an all-volunteer force and got rid of the draft, recruiting has not been this low. This is worse than what we called the Hollow Army in the 70s. Why is that? Well, you know, we find some challenges in culture with the inability to locate a good recruiting pool. Bull crap. I mean, there may be fewer kids that are as physically fit as they used to be back in the day, but you can't tell me we can't have kids pass the ASVAB test, take a basic PT test, and go to basic training and make it. They will. Here's what you've got. You've got a group of kids out there who are looking at the world saying, yeah, but what would my purpose be if I joined the Army? What are you telling me my purpose would be? Well, the Army is systemically racist, and we will attempt to root out extremism in the ranks. Why do I want to join then? Well, the Army is about diversity and inclusion, and we encourage the use of your pronouns. Why do I want to join that? I could go work in liberal Silicon Valley and get that. I could go work for Starbucks and get that. Why do I want to join with that? Well, if you'll join the military, we'll be glad to pay you a sign-in bonus and help you to find your path in life. Well, that sounds good, but I think I could also do that over here. So what is it you offer that makes you different? I'm going to tell you right now, folks, and I mean this all sincerity. You tell a kid he's going to be a warrior. You tell a kid you're going to make him into a warrior. I don't care if his MOS is going to be truck driver. I don't care if you're looking at taking him off the street and putting him in a ranger slot or working his way through the special forces. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether he's going to be a mechanic or a company clerk. You tell him you joined the fighting green machine, and we're going to train you to be a warrior, and you'll defend this country's honor. And we'll go places and see things and do stuff together you never would have done on your own. You tell them that. You watch recruiting numbers go up. You give them a mission. I don't mean just a purpose. You actually give them a mission. Tell them why the world's a dangerous place and we need them to step up and defend and protect the United States and its Constitution and our way of life. You tell them. But if you keep telling them that the world is scary and we need to make sure that we accommodate the needs of all people. And we're going to root out extremism because we believe that white extremists are pervasive in the ranks of our U.S. military. They're going to go look elsewhere, which they've been doing, to the tune of being 15,000 short on our recruiting goals for the year. Now, good on them on the one hand. The Army has met its retention goals, even exceeded its retention goals, which meant that current members of the U.S. military have been enticed to stay in. I can tell you part of that is because they had to offer big bonuses to get people to re-enlist and stay in because recruiting numbers were so poor they couldn't possibly bear the idea of both retention and recruiting being down. So good on them for finding a way to entice people to stay in. And in today's economy, by the way, let's say you've got 12 years in, and your hitch is about up, and you're, I don't know, pick one. You're a, 18 series guy, or you're an infantry officer, or an infantry, let's put it this way, you're re-enlisting, so you're an infantry sergeant. You're an E6. You've got some time invested, but you're right at that point. Do I use the GI Bill and go back to school, do something different? Hey, we'll give you a $30,000 signing bonus. And oh, by the way, with inflation being what it is outside the gates of the post, you might want to stay here with a guaranteed paycheck and a PX to shop in. Huh. Well, so retention, yay, they kept them. Recruiting, sucking wind. And it's because of what we're seeing on a regular basis with the leadership acting like they're more concerned with teaching people how to be inclusive and to reach out and to do ridiculous stuff like, what was it, the Air Force or the Navy just recently said they realized they had too many white pilots. What? How about you train the people that are fully competent and capable of being a pilot, no matter what their skin color, and you build a fighting force? Well, we got to make sure we root out extremism in the ranks because we believe extremists have been, targeting our young troops. Well, then tell your first sergeant to do their jobs. First sergeant used to get in, sergeant's business, we called it. Sergeant's business. First sergeant, he knew what was going on, called his platoon sergeants in, told them what places were off limits for those kids in off post, and made sure their lives were straight. If they couldn't balance their checkbooks, he showed them how. And if they were looking at not being able to, pay for their groceries, first sergeants found a way to pass a hat and make it work. Because you took care of your troops. So if you're worried about extremism in the ranks, get back to sergeant's business and tell a kid how it's going to be. And then, oh, by the way, govern accordingly. And I got news. I've got 30 years of military service. And if you add up the years of my father, my grandfather, and now my son and myself, you have almost 100 combined years of military service. And I do not recall ever seeing extremism in the ranks. There's always going to be a knucklehead. There's always going to be somebody with a different version of how best to conduct themselves off duty. I can't stop somebody. You can't over legislate to the point that you try to get into people's heads. What you can do, though, is lead and give them an example to follow and tell them why they're a part of something bigger than themselves. And they'll get it done. They'll get it done and they'll feel good about it. They'll get it done and they'll be proud of it. They'll get it done, and when they get out, they'll be proud to join the VFW or some other organization or stand up for the flag when the national anthem is played. They'll be glad they served. But if you're going to sit there and constantly talk down the service by saying, we got to do more for diversity, equity, and inclusion because extremism's in the ranks, and it's shut up. And I'll be honest with you, I have very rarely ever used this platform to say something like this. And I know, I mean, who am I? I'm just this radio show in North Alabama, right? But I think I got a few experiences that I can tack on to these comments when I say that our current Secretary of the Army needs to resign. She has presided over the debacle of a pullout in Afghanistan. She has presided over the most epic loss in recruiting status in the last 50 years. She has presided over a series of failed policies that can't even get a real PT test in place, physical training test. They can't even get that right. There's a lot of good stuff happening out there, and we got great troops in the barracks, and we got good NCOs and young officers coming into the system. But we need somebody new at the helm, and right now our current civilian secretary is not getting it. Well, she's out there being defensive, though. Story here on Red State, one of several I could have chosen. I'll take this one first. Fox News. The Army's top civilian leader pushed back amid Republican criticisms that the military is going too woke. She's pushing back. We are a ready Army, not a woke Army, said Army Secretary Christine Wormuth. That's frankly something that the chief of staff, and I said throughout posture season in hearings, in meetings with Congress. All branches of the military have come under fire for what some critics see as woke policies, arguing the services have been prioritizing classes and training on diversity, equity, and inclusion over readiness. And like I said a minute ago, 15,000 short of their recruiting goals. But during a media roundtable last week, Secretary Christine Wormuth pointed toward the woke criticism as a hurdle they're having to face. A hurdle. How dare we point out and say something that needs to be said? You're the Secretary of the Army. You respond to the civilian leadership. You lead, guide, and direct the military leadership. And oh, by the way, you're responsive to the people that elected the person who appointed you and the Senate who confirmed you. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, though, said just the opposite. He said, I think the military that I see is different from the military I served in, DeSantis said. I see a lot of emphasis now on political ideologies, things like gender pronouns. I see a lot of things about DEI, and I think that's caused recruiting to plummet. But Wormuth, Christine Wormuth, Secretary of the Army, says, what I'm trying to do is talk about how that drip, drip, drip of criticism about a woke military is counterproductive and having effects on recruiting. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. You don't get the luxury of saying somebody out there said a mean thing and I think it's driving people away. Go change your policies. If you're going to keep doing the same stuff and expecting a different result, guess what that means? Yeah. So all said and done, we're going to go through a few more pieces of this, but military leadership, to include Army leadership, as painful as it is to me to say it, needs to get changed out. And they need to get their head out of their fourth point of contact. Because I'm just telling you, folks, right now it's the policies that they are putting out that are crushing recruiting. You tell a bunch of kids, we're going to turn you into warriors and you're going to have a mission in life, they will flock to the recruiters. Right now, we don't have that. All right, we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. We're in number two of the Triple Dipper. They're very pretty, but can they fight? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. We got a brand new texter in the string, Crystal from Moulton. We're glad you're there. I know exactly who that is. And I know Crystal. She's related to Representative Yarbrough. We met at when I hosted or moderated an event a while back. She's the one. She said, "Phil, I'm the lady that told you that I missed Rush terribly, and then I heard you ruffle those papers. I told everybody that she says, next Rush says he'll never be replaced, but you do an awesome work. Thank you, Crystal. And by the way, I remember you quite well. I just didn't want to say your name earlier and just out of respect, but I appreciate you texting in and thanks for still listening to the show. And by the way, Ernie's doing a great job." And then John from Huntsville says, "Phil, you rattling paper would be a perfect ringtone." I don't know. I don't know if I'd use that. Then I'd have to take my Van Halen ringtone off if I did that. I got a caller held on the line during the break. Let me grab that real quick. Jeff from Indiana. Hey, Jeff Rowe, how you doing?
Doing pretty good, Phil.
Good. Where you at, man?
Hope you had a happy Father's Day. I'm about 40 miles south of Nashville, so I haven't went through the gauntlet yet.
Well, all right. Well, be safe, brother. Yeah, we had a good Father's Day. Did you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, kids come over and went swimming. Everything was good.
Well, good deal. Good deal.
The ribs.
We FaceTimed with the kids that are out of town, and the ones who were in the area came over, and we did some grilling.
All right. Sounds like a wonderful meal.
Yeah, absolutely. What's up, buddy?
Hey. Just on top of it, did you interview Mike Pence?
I have not interviewed Mike Pence. We just got word that
you're going to have to get hold of him.
What?
Bill Jackson beat you to an interview, man. What are you talking about?
what do you say to that? I mean, he is the Dale Jackson, right?
Yeah, but you're Phil, man.
Shoot.
Phil Williams, and you've got a syndicated show.
Well, they thought I'd be mean to him. Who knows? I know. I just the other day got word that Pence's organization was asking for our contact info, but I had not heard back yet. But I suspect there'll be a few candidates we'll talk to over the months to come.
There you go. but talking about this recruiting, though. Good reason why they're not recruiting is, same reason why businesses can't get kids to come work for them. I mean, the government's, they're on the government payments, you know, their government doles and everything else. They don't have to work anywhere. They can sit there and play first-person shooter games in their easy chair at home in their parents' basement, and they don't have to get shot at. Real bullet.
There is that. Yeah. But you know what? I mean, how many times have we ever seen a movie made about kids who became heroes by sitting in a lazy boy chair? You know what? Just saying.
Well, some of them become millionaires doing that.
Dang, Jeff, you're not helping me out here at all.
I know. I'm just bringing you back to reality, man.
But
the thing about it is, I mean, you know, look what we got as commander-in-chief. And he don't have your back. I mean, just look what happened, the debacle in Afghanistan happened and everything. He didn't care about none of that. He's not cognizant enough to care about anything, really. It's like you say, it's the leaders that he's got in there, or whoever's put them in there. It wasn't Joe Biden.
Well, I agree. I don't think having – I mean, just the other day, I mean, how inspiring was it when the – commander-in-chief stands in front of all of the Air Force cadets who are graduating from the Air Force Academy and falls down on the stage. It does not bode well for the desire to enter in and be inspired by your leader. I remember when I was a younger officer, the invasion of Iraq, and I was a young major, actually. I say young. I was younger than I am now. But I was inspired when I saw George W. Bush on the carrier getting off the plane wearing a flight suit. He had actually flown the plane for a period of time on the way in. And I thought that was the coolest thing I'd seen. Right now, I'm afraid that Joe Biden just doesn't carry that kind of image.
I'm not sure if Joe Biden can even tie his shoes, to tell you the truth.
It's sad. And I think it's getting to the point that people near him need to start speaking truth to him, because I'm afraid that right now it's like bordering on elder abuse.
And another thing about it, you know, used to be, you know, kids would go to the military, you know, if they didn't have a future, you know, that I need college money, I need this, I need that, and everything else. But nowadays, I don't know what the what their base pay is anymore, but when you can flip burgers at Wendy's for $15 an hour, you know, and go work for the military for probably what, would you think you could maybe even average $5 an hour if you was lucky?
Well, I mean, it depends.
Oh, I know there's a lot of perks.
And there's different, yeah, there's incentive pays and hazardous duty pays and, you know, jump pay and other stuff, but the average soldier right now is not making enough based upon Bidenflation. In fact, they're even talking about some younger troops qualifying for food stamps. We got to change that. But hey, Jeff, I'm inside of a minute, man. Commercial's coming up on me, brother. You be safe going through the Nashville area, especially. All right.
I'm just coming into it, man.
All right, brother.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. All right, we're going to come back from this break, though. I'll take a few text messages that I got, and then I'm going to jump right back into. They're very pretty, but can they fight? And by the way, you tell a kid they're going to be a warrior and teach them how to fight. They'll fight. But right now, we got some senior leadership that is all caught up in all the wrong stuff. You guys stay tuned. Coming up with hour number 3. We'll be right back.
Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative, just plain right. Hour number 3 for the day. Hour number 3. So I got a few texts. I'll go to them real quick. Talking about the military right now, and the name of this particular segment is, or this dipper, is they're very pretty, but can they fight? Not a reflection, by the way, on the rank and file. Not at all. This is talking about the leadership putting things together that do nothing but, you know, bring down morale and bring down capabilities. And anyway, John C. from Madison says, I went to basic training in September of 1983. They still hit you back in 1983. He said, but I was so enthused with the military at the time, I wanted to change my MOS to infantry and go to drill sergeant school. I medically retired in 2010. I don't know if I'd want to go in right now or not because of all the woke stuff that's in the military. I get it. And John C., by the way, thanks for your service. Kimball from Harvest says, the purpose of the Army is to fight and win America's wars. When the Army gets back to its core values and instills esprit de corps again, it'll start recruiting again. That's Kimball in Harvest. John from Lexington sent me a picture of, you know, everybody knows Harvey Milk is... one of the first widely known gay rights activists who I think he was on the city council, if I'm not mistaken, in San Francisco. Harvey Milk apparently served in the Navy. And so right now out at Redstone Arsenal, the recruiting brigade has got their headquarters Pride Month display up. And he just sent me a picture of it with, you know, the big thing about Harvey Milk. Well, Redstone Arsenal Recruiting Brigade, maybe you ought to focus on Army recruiting and not just Pride Month. There's an idea. What else we got here? I think Jay from Hartzell. Most young people seem to be lacking in national pride. Everything they hear on social media or news seems to be anti-American. Maybe if we turn Pride Month into National Pride Month, it would help to build interest in younger generations. That's Jay from Hartzell. You know, Jay, I'll be honest with you. I'll say this. I think there's less respect for the nation than there was before, part of which is because, you know, you don't see the national anthem being the Pledge of Allegiance being done in schools, you don't see as much focus, and you definitely see the counterpoints, like, you know, the BLM riots and the claims of systemic racism and the 1619 Project and critical race theory and woke ideology in schools. All that is real. I get it. All that is real. But I also believe, though, that there is a strong, strong, strong undercurrent of people that still love this nation. If you remember, remember back in 9/11? 9/11 happened. It galvanized the nation. As a nation, we came together. And I really believe that that undercurrent is still there. Like my wife always says, there's more of us than there are of them. And I believe that to be a truth. So hang in there, brother. Why do we need the military to get its act together? Well, because of the world that we're in and because of the leadership that we have right now. I mean, now is not the time to project weakness. Now is not the time on the world stage to project weakness. But just to sort of paint the picture for what we're dealing with right now, the commander-in-chief, Joe Biden, story here on Red State yesterday. The president took a question, which he rarely does, it seems. The president took a question on U.S. tensions with China while he was exiting Air Force One. What he told a reporter, according to Red State, in response was astonishing. Namely, he claimed that the Chinese spy balloon that had traversed much of the continental United States, it wasn't intentional. I mean, maybe the Chinese Communist Party leadership wasn't even aware. Really? So he's rescuing them now? You flew a freaking spy balloon across the United States. We had to shoot it down. It was carrying surveillance equipment. Why was that? Well, you know, here's the answer. I'll give you the actual quote. The reporter asked, can Secretary Blinken ease tensions with China on this trip, do you think? Biden says, well, sure. I mean, well, look, long pause. China has, long pause, some legitimate difficulties unrelated to the United States. And I think one of the things that the balloon caused was not so much that it got shot down. I think the leadership knew where it was, but I don't think they knew where it was and knew what was in it or knew what was going on. I think it was more embarrassing than it was intentional. Why is he rescuing them? They flew a spy balloon across the United States. But our leadership right now is posturing, literally posturing weakness. Here's why we know. It's one thing for me to say that and feel it. It's another thing for me to see it. How about this? Secretary of State Antony Blinken, one of the highest ranking positions in the United States. He's the Secretary of State, the diplomat from the free world to the rest of the world. When you roll out the red carpet to the Secretary of State when he arrives in your country, that's normal. That's not exceptional. That's normal. And it's typically customary for the person who is the counterpart to the Secretary of State to be on hand to receive the Secretary of State when he arrives. Secretary of State Blinken arrived in China this past Sunday. There was a low-level diplomat there to greet him. There was virtually zero pomp and circumstance. China basically snubbed the Secretary of State when he arrived. In the meantime, the president grovels for them. I don't think they really knew what was happening. I mean, you know, it's all good, fellas. They didn't mean to fly that spy balloon. So, yeah, is it important for our military to get its head out of its fourth point of contact and stop the woke policies that are driving morale on the ground and claiming that we're systemic? Yes. Get them back to war fighting. Teach them how to be warriors. Call it done. Meanwhile, the Army's top enlisted leader, this story came out from the Daily Caller yesterday. The top enlisted leader, Command Sergeant Major Michael Grinston, Sergeant Major of the Army, I'm sorry, Michael Grinston, spent a lot of time over the weekend lashing out at people on Twitter. Really? Oh, yeah. It's Pride Month, and he was tired of people getting angry about it. Right after the 82nd Airborne had recommended Army families check out a book called Survival Guides for Lesbians, Gays, Bisexuals, Transgenders, and Questioning Teens. That's the 82nd Airborne, by the way. Why is the 82nd Airborne tweeting anything about finding a survival guide for how to be gay? Who's running that Twitter account? But the Sergeant Major of the Army, he doesn't care for people who are commenting on it. So he jumped in there himself. The Sergeant Major of the freaking Army jumps in himself and begins lashing out at other Twitter users in the comments section. Some users actually praised him for standing up for gays and lesbians and transgender people who serve in the Army against bigots, while others made sure that they understood, we're not bigots. We just believe there's other things you should be focused on. One Twitter user responded, the comment section is not your area of operations, and voicing disagreement is not harassment. Many veterans, including this one, the writer, are disgusted by the continued degeneracy of our armed forces, so prepare to copy some notes you can refer to later during your retention crisis strategy meetings. At which point, he responded again that retention was up and gave an article about it. This went on and on and on over the weekend. It's inappropriate, in my opinion. And the latest skirmish, it says, appears to have wrapped up Saturday morning after a user claiming to be a former Army Special Operations Forces veteran criticized Command Sergeant Major of the Army Grinston for spending time combating individual Twitter accounts instead of, quote, making sure soldiers don't need food stamps, to which he responded that they're trying to bring up the basic allowance for subsistence. Okay. End result is this. Senior leadership in the military is the problem. It's not the rank and file. The only problem we have with the rank and file right now is we don't have enough of them because recruiting is so low because a policy is being put in place by senior leadership. If senior leadership will quit screwing around with things that drive people crazy and tell them that they're not worth it and remind them that their organization has problems and not solutions, I mean, stop running down the roads of diversity, equity, inclusion, and critical race theory and rooting out extremism. Let your first sergeants do the job they've always done. Because in my 30 years, I never saw it in the ranks. And yes, I was in integrated units. Absolutely, I was. And I never saw it. You know why? Because it was sergeant's business. And good officers and NCOs made sure the troops stayed in line. And if they were out of line, even off duty, they told them to get in line or get out. That's the way it works. But the idea that senior leadership's now going to tell everybody why, you've got to be more inclusive. You've got to find room in your heart for these things that nobody believes are real. And transgenders are going to be showering with you in the barracks. It'll be cool. Don't worry. It's part of being inclusive. Yeah, just go back to what I said a while ago. You send a recruiter over to the high school wearing all his scare me badges and combat patches. And look those kids in the eye and say, you want to be a warrior? I'll teach you how. Your recruiting numbers will go up. I guarantee you. Stop using their pronouns. Start teaching them how to live. Your recruiting will go up. All right, folks, that's enough of that one. We'll switch gears. We're going to come back when I get through with this break in a section I'm calling Rise Up, Church. Well, yeah. How about the church start speaking out more and more? Because they got to. Why? Because they're the hope of the world, in my opinion. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back.